Tuesday on the Horn B&E with you. We are live, we are local, we're digital. Make sure you're checking out hornfm.com for all of the digital content we're posting there. A lot of it, good stuff. And good stuff from One and Done yesterday. You had, how about Westlake alum Kevin Dunn? He had a great piece talking about Westlake's tremendous run to another state championship as a proud alum. That was pretty cool. That's at our website, hornfm.com. Rod B's Rant of the Day is there. Our conversation with Dan Neal last week, talking about Steve Sarkisian and his first impression. It's all there. We always post our best stuff and good stuff on our socials and at hornfm.com. That's also where you listen live, and you can podcast any hour or any moment of this program, including the Blitz, which I don't know why you'd want to go back and listen to that nonsense.
Really?
Some breaking news this morning on a couple of fronts. We mentioned the New York Mets have fired their general manager for salacious text that he sent to a reporter back in 2016 as a member of the Cubs organization. And a report now from a couple of spots that Pete Kwiatkowski, I believe that's how you say his name, it's Kwiatkoski. Pete Kwiatkowski is the lead target now of Steve Sarkisian to become the new defensive coordinator at Texas. That's just a report that's out there, so that's a name that we had not heard, and there's been more and more reporting of it throughout the course of this morning, so we are watching that and discussing its impact.
So you said the Indian chief, that was 50 years ago.
51 now. That was 1970.
51 years? Yeah, that was one of the most impactful advertising deals. It used to make me so upset when that commercial came on. I mean, as a teenager, I used to get pissed about that commercial.
You're like 15 then, right?
Yeah, and the other one was the Doublemint Twins, when I'd see the Doublemint Twins come on. Now, that was quite a ways back also, so CB will pull that up. When they used to talk Doublemint gum.
That's
and they
the
used
gum?
To have the twins. Yeah, it was about the gum. It was about the gum. But they had these twins that were, woo. That was back in the day, too. When I'd see them, I'd be like, man, I got to get some of that gum. Really?
That sold you?
That sold me. It did. I ate Doublemint gum after I saw the Doublemint twins. That one worked also. But, yeah, the chief was one that, as a 15-year-old, I would get mad when that came on. It actually was done so well that would piss you off about people throwing trash and garbage out of their cars.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Don't Mess with Texas campaign, which was so successful, GSD and M's brainchild.
That was the 90s, was it not?
Oh, man, that goes way back into the 80s, doesn't it? I mean, Willie Nelson did one. I remember Nolan Ryan. They grabbed Nolan Ryan to do one where he fired a piece of trash and it exploded, you know, at the trash can. And it was a pretty simple message. Don't mess with Texas. Why do you litter? Why are we littering? Throwing cans into the back of the truck and all that kind of stuff. One of the more impactful campaigns. And this is based on that eco-shaming thing going on, which is true. We should be recycling where you can. And, you know, I need to get a new can too, Buck. A year ago, we moved into our new house and it had because the couple that had lived there before it was just those two. And we create more trash than that. We've got more people. But, I need a bigger can. I got to call the city and get I got one of these small daily, you know, trash cans. Only fits.
Oh,
like
that'll
two.
Cost you $500.
You think it's $500?
I don't know. They're ridiculous. I don't know how many cans that. I think I've seen. I guess you can buy as many as you want, but I don't know what the limit of cans is. But I know they cost a pretty penny to have that extra garbage can right now. Oh, they don't call it garbage anymore. Is that a bad word to use?
It's trash.
It's you
can still call it garbage. I don't know that's a PC term, is it? Garbage? Garbage,
yeah,
trash.
Yeah, I think they want you to call it trash.
It's garbage!
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Like white trash or trash?
Just trash. Just trash.
Can't
just
say that
old trash.
Can't say much
of
anything.
Yeah, just trash.
Yeah, I don't know. People are clamoring on the Specs text line for more details on the Gwyneth Paltrow story. So, you know, you ask, we give. So this is from the Sun.com website, the UK. But, yes, this lady, Jodie Thompson, 50 years old, she decided it would be a good idea to buy the candle created by Gwyneth Paltrow that smells like her private areas. Uh-huh. And Jodie says she was taken by surprise after lighting it when the flame leapt like several feet up from the candle out of the glass jar. Said, I never seen like it. The whole thing was like ablaze. It was too hot to touch. There was an inferno in the room because Gwyneth Paltrow's scented guitar. or scented candle. It could have burned down the whole place, she said. It was scary at the time, but funny Amazing. Looking back that Gwyneth's vagina candle exploded in my living room. There's a quote for you.
That's amazing.
Gwyneth Paltrow. And those things, remember that? We had that story. It sold out. Like, they sold out. It's crazy.
No, I'm not going to buy that candle. I would never buy that candle.
I'm with you.
I'd pass on that one.
Here's a question. Would you buy a candle that had the aroma of Pam Cummings underarms back in the day?
It doesn't matter. Pam Cummings was as fresh as a daisy. No matter what anybody thought, no matter what anybody said, that hair, whatever it was like a filter. So you, back in the day, it was a filter. It wasn't just hair.
Because I say that because you reported that.
That's
Pam,
why men have hair under their arms. I mean,
are you saying
men
that
don't go around
smell?
Shaving their armpits, do they?
Oh, yeah. Some do. Some do.
No, come on now.
I do not. I do not.
We're not to that point where there are dudes, besides Trey Elling III, that shave their armpits.
Well, Trey's a volleyball player, so I'm pretty sure Trey does shave most parts of his exposed body.
Wow.
He's a volleyball guy, isn't he? That
hair's there for a reason.
Well.
It's protection. I know we've come a long way.
It doesn't mean it doesn't stink.
I mean, yeah. I mean, go in a teenage boy's room. You'll find that out in a hurry.
Yeah, I've got one.
Wow.
Oh, there we go. Gwyneth Paltrow candles. Good stuff today. Like, we don't have enough. We don't have enough today. We had Baylor rolling Kansas last night in the Big 12. Let's hear this again. Here's Bill Self. Here's what he had to say about, remember earlier in the year, Kansas got rolled by Gonzaga, who's the number one team and the undefeated team in the country. Most people believe they're the favorites, the odds favorites to win the title. If it's not them, it's Baylor. And now Bill Self has seen Baylor up close for the first time, and they got beat pretty good last night by the Bears, and then said, there's a separation between those two and anyone else.
Well, I would be shocked if there's a third that fits into that category. We saw Gonzaga actually run it right down our throat right from the beginning. We saw Baylor do the same thing tonight. So the games were actually pretty similar. Baylor, I think, had us down 14 or 16 or something, and Gonzaga had us down the same thing. And I don't know which one I'd say better. They're both terrific.
Okay, there we go. Both terrific. And that's kind of
yeah, but don't worry about that Texas team that beat you by 25 at your home court. So.
Yeah, and I know Texas fans would mean to say, wait a second, Bill, what about us? And, you know, I don't know if he forgot about that whooping or wanted to forget about it. But he did say, look, he admitted after the Texas game, they just didn't play well. They got whooped, and that was a bad performance. But his point last night started with the idea that we played pretty well tonight, guys. I mean, we actually played a good game here. As a coach, I was pleased with how we performed, and we got whooped. And that tells you, you know, we're the ninth-ranked team in the country. We played a pretty solid game, especially in the second half on the road, and we had no chance. That's just how good that team is. And we'll see. Texas will play Kansas again. Texas will also play Baylor twice. And remember, the third-ranked team in the country, Buck, is Villanova, who beat Texas earlier this year here in Austin. So it does appear. And Isaiah Collier, would you agree with Bill Self's assessment that there's Baylor, Gonzaga, and everybody else?
No, not really.
You don't think so?
I think everybody could be beat. Baylor, I don't think they separate themselves much more than, you know, UT, and neither does Gonzaga. Gonzaga really just has their big five, and after that, they're pretty slim. So I think anybody could be beaten, and I wouldn't be surprised if neither one of those teams won a national championship.
All right. So right here on this 19th of January, if I gave you Baylor, Gonzaga, or the field, you would take the field. Is that fair?
I got 50-50.
Ooh, it's a coin flip for you, Baylor, Gonzaga, or the field. Because, Buck, you know, even Mark Few, the head coach at Gonzaga, you know, when the March Madness tournament didn't happen last year, he felt like he had a team last year that could have was going to make a run and maybe win a championship. And they actually added a piece to that team that was really good, and so now they're even better with the Big Five, as they talked about. It'll be interesting to see. And that's the beauty of the March Madness tournament. It's not the NBA's playoffs. If you're picking seven game series, I mean, obviously you're going to go with the talent, and over the course of a 2 week series, the best team's going to win. Single elimination, one game, anything can happen, and that's where you like Texas and Shaka Smart potentially, right? They've got to play better than they did against Tech last week, but. The one thing Texas throws at you is a lot of depth. I mean, they've got a lot of different guys that can beat you. And the question I have when they play Baylor for the first time, whenever that happens, is how did the Texas guards, it's such a guard-dominant team, how do they match up with the bigger guards of Baylor? Because Kansas had no answer for Jared Butler last night. He scored 30, had 8 assists. Anytime Kansas would make a run, he would step up and make a couple of plays, and it was stretched back out to a double-digit lead. He's really, really a good player. Probably the Big 12's player of the year right there, Jared Butler at Baylor when it's all said and done. But they've got a couple of those guys with the Bears. So we'll see. Would you take the field, Buck, or would you take one of the top two with you right now?
I would take one of the top two. But we've seen Gonzaga in this position before. And then when tournament time comes, it's like, It's almost like who have they played? They just don't kind of get it done when tournament time comes. I think that's what Zay may be saying is, you know, obviously on any given night in basketball, you can, when you got a one game to play, things could really, really change. So
yeah, I mean,
but I'll take those two over the field.
I think I would right now too. And as Zay said, it's a coin flip. They're both really good, and
sure,
I don't think anybody's going to be rooting around here for Baylor.
No.
Baylor to win a championship.
No,
remember a couple years ago, Texas Tech made it to the championship with Chris Beard and lost in the title game. But this Baylor team is that talented. So we shall see. But
their guard play is fantastic.
Oh, well, the guards are big. They defend. And Butler could end up being the difference because that's a guy, you know, when you watch Butler play last night, Buck, you know, I mean, they got other guys, but that guy's got the NBA body. He's big. He gets where he needs to. He can shoot it. He's, you know, he's already built. Zay, am I wrong about this? He's built like one of those NBA guards with his, you know, I mean, Matt Coleman's a good player and he's been clutch for Texas, but he doesn't look like that. He can't be physical, get to the paint, and duke it out. That's watching last night. It looked like an NBA guard playing in a college game.
Yeah, the knock on him when the draft, you know, the scouts and whatever, they say that his jump shot doesn't translate to the NBA game, which is absolutely bonkers because the man hit 8 threes last night, so I don't know what they're talking about. But
he's
a stud.
And Zay, he'll put Texas guards, small guards, in problems with, you know, going and fouling him. I mean, he's just that big. He can get to where he wants to get. You know what I mean? And they can't defend him down low. That's why it's good that Texas has three guards. That, you know, they've got enough guys to give some fouls and still be okay. And be effective if one of those guys is hot on a given night.
Well, Texas now won't play a game. Just heard Craig Way in the Craig Way report. No game this week because of two postponements. That's now three total for Texas. And I'll just say, keep your eye on this. I have no knowledge that this could happen. But if the Big 12 is, I mean, you don't want to get to a situation, Buck. I know they built a week at the end of the season, and you know, for some of these games, but you don't need a situation where a team's playing four games that week ahead of a Big 12 tournament, ahead of March Madness. I don't know if there'll be cancellations of games. And I'll say watch out for on January 30th. That's supposed to be the Big 12 SEC challenge. You don't wonder if the Big 12 gets to a point where they have too many games to make up that they say to the SEC, look, I know we've got TV deals, but we got to get our games in here. I mean, ESPN would be upset. I mentioned that Texas is supposed to play Kentucky that night at 7 o'clock in Rupp Arena. You know, if the Big 12 argued, look, we'll give you Texas Baylor. We'll give you in a postponed makeup
game. You
can
have that one,
2-5, 2-4, 2-5 from Waco. We'll give you that one because we got to get this game in. I don't know that can happen. I just think, and as we've seen throughout this pandemic, Buck, the sports leagues have to think outside the box and be ahead of the game.
For sure.
Because it's a challenge, for sure. And college basketball is dealing with it more than any. Speaking of body types, so I was watching I didn't stay up this late to watch the game last night, but Zay, did you watch any of the Warriors-Lakers game where the Warriors came from 14 down to beat the Lakers and LeBron, and Steph Curry scored 26? So there was a shot of Steph Curry, hit a big three. That dude's been working out during his time when he was getting his knee recovered, Buck. He's, all of a sudden, little Steph Curry, maybe the greatest shooter of all time. Did you see this guy? He's got some guns going. He's got like he's got some physique to him. I don't know. Zay, what's going on with Steph Curry? He looks good.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have about 300 days of non-basketball being played, because he wasn't in the bubble. So, yeah, he was on his prison, you know, workouts.
Prison workouts. Well, it's like, you know, what it reminded me of, only because we talked earlier about the Tiger Woods documentary. Remember when Tiger went from skinny kid to all of a sudden he looked like a weightlifter? And the Steph Curry shot I saw last night, I was like, wow, he's probably put on 15 pounds of muscle, this guy. And Tiger did that when he was doing his SEAL training, went to after his father passed away, doing those rigorous workouts that took its toll on his body. But yeah, so interesting. It is good, by the way, in the NBA to have. There's a lot of bad stories, right? The Kyrie Irving story is frustrating. The James Harden stuff is just comical. It's good to have Steph Curry back playing basketball again because he's one of my. I think most people would say that's must see TV when Steph Curry's playing in a big basketball game.
Yeah, when all of the Warriors are kind of together, you know what I mean? When they can get all those guys healthy and playing back together, it's fun to watch them play. It just is.
Yeah, that game last night and games like it coming, or that's when you heard that Klay Thompson injury, you're like, oh, man.
I know.
Because the Warriors would have been a big factor in the West, and without him, you know, the other Splash brother, it's just not the same. And obviously Kevin Durant took his talents to Brooklyn. How's that going? By the way, back-to-back wins for Brooklyn. They beat the Bucks last night, and James Harden and Kevin Durant both over 30 points, and you know, Harden's all of a sudden playing basketball again instead of loafing around the court and pouting and pitching his tantrum, but got his way, and they're good. By the way, some people mentioned on the text line, Zay, give me your thoughts on the Big Ten teams that you've been watching. Michigan, a good team. Iowa, a good team. Which one of the Big Ten teams would you think is the biggest threat to either of those top teams or Texas?
I would say Michigan and Iowa, but look out for Minnesota. Minnesota has this guard that's going to go in the lottery, and he's an absolute stud. And, yeah, the Big Ten, they're just being up on each other. Like, whoever wins the Big Ten should get a number one seed, I think.
And that tells me I see Michigan in the top five or six, and now seven. Juwan Howard's doing a good job there. Juwan Howard.
Yeah, I saw Michigan play last week. They're good.
Yeah, I mean, you never know when a NBA great and a former great comes in and how they're going to – you're taking over for John Beilein, who did such a great job there. Juwan Howard's doing a nice job. That's a really well-coached team that really talented and then playing in the top ten. So we'll ask you that question in College Hoops from what you've seen so far. Is it those two, Gonzaga, Baylor, or the field? Also on the Texas football front, we're watching the defensive coordinator story. We'll get you confirmation as it comes, but it does look like the Washington Huskies defensive coordinator has become a target of Steve Sarkisian. We'll keep an eye on that.
And situation. We probably should start getting some information on Patrick Mahomes probably tomorrow on where he is.
Yeah,
Wednesday I would expect to hear more things about him.
That's in the news today, and I left it out just because I think you're right. I think we're too early to really have anything definite. All Andy Reid said yesterday is, yes, indeed, he's in the concussion protocol, but that was obvious. If you have a concussion and you don't come back in a game, you're going to be put in the protocol. That's the protocol. That's the way that works. And so, but Andy Reid did not confirm yesterday that Patrick Mahomes had a concussion. He just said he's in the protocol. Now, you can draw your own conclusion, but there are some in and around Kansas City that think it's not a concussion as much as it's a neck strain kind of thing. And as you said, that the dude, Mack Wilson, the linebacker, you know, trying to choke him out and kind of bend his head forward, and that might have sometimes that'll happen. You get your bent and your neck turned, and all of a sudden you got them vertigo going when you stand up, right? You're twisted the wrong way,
yes.
And as you said, I've had that before where your neck seizes up, and all of a sudden you start seeing stars, man. It's very disheartening. They're just disorienting, and I think that's maybe when we all saw Patrick Mahomes step up and stand up and start to fall backwards.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, as you said, that'll come out. It'll be the biggest story of the week. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, can Patrick Mahomes be 100%? Because they need him. Because this Buffalo team, Buck, it is almost like they didn't even have to do much to beat Baltimore on Saturday night. I mean, it was their defense played such a good game. I mean, obviously, who can anticipate Justin Tucker missing two field goals? But I thought that was another strong performance for Buffalo in a big spot. They come in absolutely red hot. Another two touchdown victory for them.
Yeah, I'm just if Patrick Mahomes is ready to go, and it's nothing to do with concussion. I just Kansas City just has too much going on. I mean, Buffalo does have a shutdown corner. White is absolutely outstanding at cornerback. So. But he can't – nobody can shut down the wide receiver, period, from Kansas City. That's a one-on-one mismatch for anybody in the NFL. They just can't do it. Little guy can absolutely get it and go. You've got to double up. Somebody's got to be over the top of him most of the time. He can't get caught on your one-on-one. But the other guys are pretty doggone good, too. They just got receivers, and there is no answer for Kelce. They just don't –
Yeah.
You can't. You can't double up everybody
again,
at wide receiver for this team.
The other name I'll be watching this week, and I don't know what the idea is, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, has any star player fallen faster than Le'Veon Bell? You know, this with Clyde Edwards-Helaire being out, the opportunity for Le'Veon Bell, who they signed after being released by the Jets, he's not even a factor, Buck. I mean, he's not even in it. I mean, it's the other guy. Damian Williams is getting the carries in that spot.
That surprised me.
Yeah.
That really surprised me.
Yeah, that must have – he just must not be standing out. I mean, you thought when he got to to Kansas City with Eric Bieniemy, with Andy Reid, with that offense, they'd have been dialing up plays for him, screen game. You know, we saw him be such a dynamic weapon, one of the great offensive weapons in the league when he was in Pittsburgh. I don't know if he's fallen that far. I don't know about it. It's weird to see a running back, not because of even wear and tear. They hardly used him with the Jets. He's just he seems like a shell of him former self.
Yeah, and that, as I said, I thought he was going to be one of the main focuses in that game, and he really wasn't. So, very surprising.
Yeah, and yeah, I wonder if I'll look it up during this timeout, and I wonder if Edwards-Helaire, because it's a high ankle sprain, and then those things we've always said, players would almost prefer it to break than the high ankle sprain, because those things just don't heal when they're severe, like he suffered against New Orleans in the regular season. Let's hope he can get back. If he can, I think it's a different animal. If not, these two teams are really, really even, and you might even lean Buffalo the way the Bills are playing right now. But we'll get some numbers on that. This says, guys, you must have missed Tyreek Hill pushing his coach. Did you see that on Saturday or on Sunday?
I did not see that. Well, wait a minute. I did see that.
I
thought he was pushing him in a playful manner. I don't know what that was. I had no clue what that was about. So I just saw him. I said, damn, you pushed him pretty hard.
But I couldn't tell if he was kind of going after Le'Veon Bell and the coach got in the between them or whatever, because Bell was kind of walking off. And I think afterwards the Chiefs said it was kind of a joking thing. And by the way, next play, Tyreek Hill on the incredible catch that he made on that little go route, 26-yard play that they had to review. But whatever he did, they got on the ball on the next play, even with Chad Henne and his quarterback. So, yes.
By the way, that was a hard push. That dude almost went airborne.
I'm going to look at that during the break too, because it happened really quickly while we were watching the game, and I wasn't at home, so I couldn't go back and watch it again. But I will watch that. Plus, I'll look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and where his injury status stands as they get ready for the Bills on Sunday. Obviously, the important injury reports will be out on Thursday and into Friday. All right, we'll come back. When we do, we pick up these conversations. We've got scented candles and basketball and plenty of football in our conversations this morning. It's B&E on a Tuesday.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All right, so after some more modern wedding reception songs, take it back to Bucky's day, mid-70s. This is a top tenner, Buck, on most requested wedding dance songs.
Wow.
You could see you out there dancing to this. You'd have some moves, the platforms, the big afro back in the day.
Yeah, this is a pretty good song. This one's okay.
Called Dancing
I must have been
Queen.
I was so hammered at weddings. I just, you know, I probably wouldn't have danced to this one. I would have needed something that was shocking to dance to. Like, I just always try. Like I forget the song that they played at my daughter's wedding in Baton Rouge. And it was a line dance. And I was out there, and I was going left, to the left, to the left, to the right, to the right. I mean, I was doing all that stuff. And I was just making an idiot out of myself. But I couldn't. I mean, and I wasn't, by the way, I wasn't drunk then. I was still sober. But I love line dance, and I love to try to line dance.
Well, they do the Macarena, the Macarena.
There's a couple others.
We played earlier the Cha-Cha Slide. That might have been it with DJ Casper. Was that it, the Cha-Cha Slide?
No, it was another something slide.
Cupid Shuffle. I think Cupid Shuffle might be the one. Is that the one they play like on the Ellen DeGeneres show? To the left,
that may be
to the left, to the left, to the right.
Yeah, to the left, to the right. I mean, I was getting out there, and just and my daughter was like looking at me like, "Damn, Dad, please stop yourself. You're about to fall over." But I couldn't help myself.
And that was
fun.
That was pre-knee replacement too, I believe, if memory.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. There was some soreness going on. That was pre-CBD oil days too, by the way.
Yeah, well, there we go. So we've got a lot of big stories today. We're keeping an eye on the Texas defensive coordinator situation. Could be resolution to that as of today or tomorrow, as we're hearing word of the Washington defensive coordinator is a target they're zeroing in on. You know, Washington's played some pretty innovative defense under Chris Peterson and then Jimmy Lake, the replacement when Chris Peterson retired. This is an old-school defensive coach, Buck. He's been at Boise State as a D.C., Washington with Jimmy Lake and Chris Peterson. If he indeed is the hire, it'll be a physical, well-coached, tough football defense, which, you know, that's Steve Sarkisian knows what he was looking for on that side of the football. So we will certainly keep our eyes on that. Also, on the way to the timeout, we're talking about the Chiefs. Let me ask you all this, both of y'all, Buck, you and Zay. Chiefs have been the predominant favorite all year long, but after the Browns, you know, had their opportunities and the Chiefs held them off, You know, as we've said all last week, Chiefs haven't covered a line, a Vegas line, in the last nine games now. They're 0-8-1. They're not blowing people out, but they're winning the games. Are they? How far are we? I mean, because we look at Buffalo and the way they're playing, the Packers. Gosh, do you still feel like it's the Chiefs and everyone else, or do you think any of these four teams could actually win the Super Bowl?
Well, I think as long as Patrick Mahomes is playing, that you really, I mean, you only have to win by a field goal. You only have to win by 1 point. I mean, lines are for Vegas, lines are for the gamblers, but they seem to find a way to win. That's 24-1. I mean, it's been a long time since they've lost a game, you know,
when Patrick Mahomes with Pat, playing. With Pat as a starter. Now, they lost week 6-17 right. against the Chargers, but Patrick Mahomes didn't start the game, and Chad Henne played that game, which helped him, by the way, playing in that fourth quarter in that big spot. Zayer, where are you on this? I know you are leaning Bills even on a Tuesday for the game. Do you have a Super Bowl favorite?
I like the Packers.
They're playing good, man.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he has that look in his eye.
Well, and he's thrown 50 touchdowns and five interceptions. He's having an historically great season.
But I'm not sold on anybody's defense right now. I mean, it's all about offense. It's not about the defenses. You just got to – can you get me a couple stops here and there? That's what the NFL is all about. They just seem to score. They just go down and score. But not many of them give you, like, back-to-back stops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the drives are long and 7 minutes and 8 minute drives. It's not like they're throwing it over the top. There's three play touchdown drives. It's 6-7 minute drives. So you only get so many chances, but you need to get a couple stops when it comes to NFL football right now. And who can get you that stops? Kansas City is one group that I'm still not, they're not as good as they were last year at this time on defense. They just aren't.
They are not. Well,
Green Bay is still kind of the same.
Yeah, I mean, Buccaneers won a game on Sunday with defense. I mean, that was a defensive dominant game against Drew Brees and the Saints, and that's the best defense going right now, you would argue, just based on that performance. But they gave up a ton of yards and 23-some points to Taylor Heinicke and the Washington football team, so can they be had? And that's the thing when you look at that Packers matchup with Tampa. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. Green Bay's taking a lot of heat for that hire. He was kind of an unknown guy. Then for their draft last year of Jordan Love and A.J. Dillon, first two picks. The guy continues to win football games. And Aaron Rodgers, that offense with him, Buck, is unstoppable. And this is where you give Matt LaFleur credit. The chemistry he's built with Rodgers, it's pretty much the same group. I mean, it's Aaron Rodgers, it's Devontae Adams, it's the same receivers, same tight ends. This goes to coaching and development and what Texas fans hope Steve Sarkisian can do. When you scheme it and you do it right and you put the weapons in the right places, you can't get Aaron Rodgers off the field, Buck. I mean, they just can't. The Rams were the number one defense in the league, which is why when we were handicapping that game a week ago, you're thinking, well, if they can run the ball, Rams defense, they can hold this game down. They couldn't hold it down, Buck. 32 points. Aaron Rodgers got where he needed to. They couldn't get him off the field. That's impressive when you can take the number one defense in the league. And I know Aaron Donald wasn't 100%, but that offensive line didn't give up a sack. There was almost no pressure on Aaron Rodgers in that game against that ferocious pass rush of the Rams. There's a lot to like about the Packers right now.
Yeah, and that's why Aaron Donald was crying on the sideline because he knew he wasn't at his best, and he wanted to play so hard in that game, and he was tearing up. He was sad. I mean, to see that guy as great as he is crying on the sideline, he just wanted to give it his all. He just couldn't do it. Rib cartilage injury.
I mean,
that rib cartilage, brother.
Yeah, man, tough. But yeah, I mean,
are we thinking about the electric slide, Zay? Is that it? I mean, electric slide is old, but it's not. I guess it's that old now, isn't it? Because everybody does an electric slide. The Cowboys, I mean, the line dances for country music. They got the slide going on, right?
Here we go. Turn that up. What do we have here?
Cupid Shuffle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Turn it up,
Here Zay. We go. I'm at the house. I wish I had the camera now. All right, now.
Yeah, this is that Ellen DeGeneres song. They play it on her show all the time at the beginning.
To the right. Yeah, I'm doing that right now.
Don't hurt yourself.
I got to get a TV up in here.
Yeah, I can see where that could be an earworm. Yeah, that's a wedding song if there ever was. Well, that might be number one.
It is, for sure.
That might be number one. Because the key to a wedding song, Buck, when it's, a wedding is you want the girls need to be dancing, because if the girls are dancing, then the dudes are going to come dance, right? Is that that's kind of the way that goes.
If the girls and grandma, and if grandma gets up,
yeah,
and gets out there and start dancing, it's on. Everybody's up.
The kids
now
are into it, and
yeah,
no doubt. And then of course you got the kid that's you know, getting his chin up under the ladies, you know what's, and you know, doing the dancing, doing like you with
always that kid.
There's always that kid.
Always that kid.
Always that kid. Yeah,
he's that kid at the wedding, like, hey, what are you looking at?
Oh yeah.
What are you looking at? That's your aunt. You're not supposed to look at her and look over behind her like
cousin.
That.
Hey, Keita Wright's my cousin.
Yeah, even though she's wearing that dress that she probably shouldn't be wearing.
And her things
at
are like right at my eye level and I'm dancing with her.
Yeah, and you're trying to talk, and you're trying to look her in the eye, and she knows where you're really looking. And I don't do that. I just look.
13 years old, yeah.
Yeah, I got to the point, if you're obviously going to wear a dress like that in front of me, I'm probably going to look. I am. I'm sorry. I'm 65 years old, and if you're bold enough to wear that in front of me, I'm bold enough to just stare.
Yeah. Well,
you'll do that when you get a little older, E. It'll be fine. Your wife will understand. Your wife will say the same thing. She wore it.
He's
just checking it out.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like billboards advertising. It's like, come on. It's what you? Why did I look at that billboard? Because it was right there. You put up this big sign that said, look at me.
That's right.
look at me.
I'm the billboard. You're right.
All right. There we go. Electric slide. Sorry, I like it. That. It says, Bills will win it all finally. You know what? When you're looking at it now and kind of handicapping this, you have to put the Chiefs as the favorites because they're the defending champs, and they're still in Patrick Mahomes' last 25 starts, they're 24-1. So to Bucky's point, they just keep
24
winning.
24-1.
Yes. Yeah, and the loss, Buck, was to the Raiders. Like the Raiders beat them in Kansas City. Remember back in October?
And gave them two tough games.
Yeah.
During the year.
John Gruden, yes. But that's it. Every other game they've won. And even if they're down like they did last year, had to come behind in double-digit games in the playoffs. And even here, when their quarterback gets hurt, they found ways to win. But it does feel like this year, for me, Buck, is a little different even than last year. I mean, last year they had to beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, right? They had to get through New England. But, gosh, the Packers and the Bills are just playing so good. And they're the common denominator with the Packers and Bills, and it kind of an equalizer. They're able to do what Patrick Mahomes does, and that's – it's those off-script plays from the quarterback position where third down conversions on 3rd-and-7 and 3rd-and-8 that normally you'd get them off the field. Josh Allen will make a play and run for the first down or throw one of these sidearm, you know, side-wheeling throws and keep the drive alive. And Aaron Rodgers has obviously been doing it all year. I mean, those three quarterbacks are just playing at such a high level. And if Mahomes indeed does have an issue injury-wise, that's how thin the margins are, Buck. I mean, both of these lines.
There's no doubt.
Both of these lines are three. Which it's, you know, home game field goal, they're dead even. And I think if you matched them up in the Super Bowl, the line wouldn't be much different than a 3-point line. These are very evenly matched teams with great quarterback play, and all four are playing really good football right now. So obviously it's Championship Sunday. This is kind of the norm, but there is something a little bit different, it feels to me, about this Packers and Bills teams, the way they're the role that they're on.
I'm truly believing that we're going to see Tom Brady play Patrick Mahomes again.
Ooh. All right. So you got
I know nobody nobody gives Tampa a chance
I do.
To win the game.
I just have to see someone stop that offense. I mean, because we just haven't seen it. I mean, I'll take a timeout and come back. I'll tell you the scores for the Packers. I mean, they're just that offense. Aaron Rodgers literally has 50 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. 50 touchdowns, 5 picks. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, and I know it was Drew Brees last week couldn't throw the ball down the field, but that doggone Tampa defense last week
was excellent. Excellent.
Was awesome.
Fast.
All over the field. Yes.
I mean, linebackers can really. I mean, but I think they're susceptible at the corner position, have been. But remember, the Buccaneers played the Packers this year. We'll remind you how that game went in the regular season. Also, get more. I did look up Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There is no news yet on his ankle. He was ruled out for the Browns game, but you know it was one of those late in the week decisions. So maybe the high ankle sprain, because I think that's important for Kansas City. But you tell me this: that Helaire's not playing, Buck, and Patrick Mahomes won't be 100%. I think the Bills have a real shot in that football game.
For sure.
The way they're playing right now with Josh Allen. All right, we're back. We will kick these around. We will reset the top stories and get you set up for the rest of the day right here on the Horn, where we're live, we're local, we're digital at hornfm.com and on the Horn app.
Peace up. Peace A-Town. Yeah.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Okay. Oh, come on. Wedding reception hits. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that one fits.
This is the very end of the night, though, right? This is like the... This can't be early on in the festivities. This has got to be after 2-3.
You can't use up all that energy too.
Yeah, this is one of the closers. This is one of the when you finally make your move, Buck. If you're there and single and you're crashing the wedding back in the day, you know, you just
back in the day it was like the last call for alcohol, you know.
Yeah. And maybe she's like Gwyneth Paltrow's candle, like she's just ready to explode, as the term says. You know, she's
the volcano's ready to erupt. Or she goes home with your best friend, and you're bummed out. And you want to just stroll out of there, which what you thought was a 10, and she actually was a 2.
That's happened too. That's happened too.
Does it really ever matter?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
That's right. Weddings. It's been COVID. We haven't been to weddings. Nobody's been doing weddings.
I know.
This is, you're talking back in the day when you started, like, especially if you were like in the wedding itself and you were single, you started flirting with the maid of honor or whatever, like way back. And then that's like closing song. Never worked. And whatever. Hey, so here we are. It is a Tuesday. We got a week to get ready for these championship games. But I did mention on the way to the timeout, Tampa Bay did play Green Bay earlier in the year, Buck, and it wasn't close. Remember, that game was in Tampa on October the 18th. Final score, Tampa Bay 38, Green Bay 10. So, very, very one-sided football game. That's among the worst games.
But once
games.
Again, it's just a Tom Brady and these wide receivers. As I said, I think they can get to the Super Bowl. I don't know if they can win the Super Bowl, but I think this Tampa Bay team is really going to be special next year, not so much this year. They're still off with their route running.
No, but Tampa Bay won that game. They beat the Packers.
Yeah.
Because on the way to the break, you were talking about Green Bay, Tampa's defense, you know, helping them. I mean, they're the reason they beat the Saints on Sunday, and there's no doubt about that. That their defense held Aaron Rodgers to 10 points. That's the low of their season by a mile. I mean, if you look at the Packers right now with Aaron Rodgers in this offense, last 3 weeks, Buck, I mean, they've won 9 of their last 10. The one loss was a shootout overtime loss in Indianapolis where they lost 34-31. That's their only loss since early November.
Cold weather's not going to bother Tom Brady.
No. The cold weather question will be debated, but when I look at the Packers the last 3 weeks, so I mentioned 9 of 10. Last 3 weeks they played Tennessee, Chicago, and the Rams, all, you know, pretty good teams. They scored 40, 35, and 32. So their offense is peaking at the right time. But again, go back to October 18th, it was 10 points they scored on that team. Will cold matter? Look, I don't think Tom Brady had a little quip that he's moved to Florida now and his blood is thinning, so he's not really looking forward to the cold. But yes, he's played many a cold weather game in this time of year in New England.
Rainy game, lousy weather games in New England.
He's a whatever, the big game quarterback. You know, the only concern I would have is, you know, cold the other players. I mean, it's a cold weather team. It's a cold weather town or warm weather town. We've seen that before. Dome teams going into the cold. I think the Packers will have an advantage in that they. I heard somebody say this yesterday too, and it's true. They're going to be cold too. I mean, everyone's going to be cold if it's 23 and snowing. There's no doubt, but the Packers kind of wear it as a badge of honor. The Packers, you know,
they do.
So that it would be the advantage across the roster, not just at quarterbacks, because there can be some of those Florida boys, right, that run around for Tampa. They'd be like, "Damn, it's freezing out here." But
it's really cold. Yes,
they don't live in it like the Packers currently do. I don't know. We'll see. That there will be a weather factor. It doesn't look like there will be as much of a weather factor in Kansas City with the Bills. But man, it's only Tuesday, but can't wait for these games. So compelling. So many storylines and so evenly matched across the board with these four teams. All right, this says the wobble song really gets the ladies on the dance floor.
That's the one. That's the one. That's the one that played at my daughter's Weber. Wobble, wobble. Yes, that
Zay,
is the song.
Do you have the
that
Weeble
I dance
wobble song?
That's the one.
We'll have to go out with that song and see if we can get everybody's
wobbling. I actually got up there and did the wobble. I know, Zay, you're laughing right now, but
of course he is.
Don't laugh too hard. I can't see you, so believe me. I was out there wobbling. That's the one where my daughter said, "Dad, please, you can stop now."
You're embarrassing yourself and me. That's what that usually goes. We'll find that and go out with it. Zay is on the lookout for it. Someone also sent us the video. I mean, you guys are so great. We ask, and somebody sent me the video. Oh, it's CB, of course. He found the video of the Double Mint Twins in their green green bathing suits and their white hats.
You see it? You see where I was a kid, what that did?
that did that for
See
you?
See, I started chewing double mint.
that was, advertising worked with the double mint twins.
Absolutely.
And that was about the age when I was watching like the Justice League, and they had the Wonder Twins. So my, you know, that was a guy and a girl. I think they were in say, the Wonder Twin Power or whatever. But double mint twins. I don't think I've ever seen that. But yeah, full one piece bathing
suits.
Somebody
said, "Why are you chewing this gum now? Chewing the nasty stuff like Juicy Fruit." I say, "Well, you haven't seen the double mint twins yet."
And look, they both have the short hair look going. You know, the very the shorter hair look for the double mint twins. Thank you, CB. For finding that, because that was good. All right, so there's where we are. We're talking championship games for Sunday. We are also talking Texas defensive coordinator. This will be an ongoing conversation. You can guarantee it here. Coming up next on Light the Tower, Jeff Howe, Craig Way will have the very latest. There is a report this morning that Washington Huskies defensive coordinator Pete Kwiatkowski has become the leader for the defensive coordinator role at Texas under Steve Sarkisian. So we'll keep an eye on that. There's two spots remaining, D.C. and then one other defensive spot. So that story could emerge today. We've also had the firing of the New York Mets and their general manager for explicit text messages he sent 3 years ago to a reporter. Needed to be fired, and rightfully so. That's coming down. And we've also talked a lot about the Texans today, Buck, and these next two, last two coaching hires that Philadelphia may be zeroing in on, Josh McDaniel. Apparently there's a relationship back. You know, Jeffrey Lurie's the owner in Philadelphia, and he's got Boston ties, and he admires Bill Belichick and the Patriots like everybody, and that maybe he wants to snag one of those Boston, New England guys, and Josh McDaniel would be the name. But, boy, has anybody's star and luster come down more than Josh McDaniel with not having Tom Brady this year and the wretched offense they had and what Tom Brady's done in Tampa. I mean, you know, Josh McDaniel probably needed to land one of these gigs before, but maybe Philadelphia will throw him a left line this offseason and let him come in and replace Doug Peterson.
Could be.
Could be.
It could be. When the GOAT leaves you, believe me, you're going to miss the GOAT.
Yeah, and it was a pretty far drop from the GOAT to Cam Newton, and let's be fair about that. And Bill Belichick admitted as much during the season. The guys, we signed this guy in July for $1 million. I mean, this was... We did not invest heavily in quarterback until you get what you pay for. But, yes, Josh McDaniel, still a pretty good football coach. That could be the guy. And Houston had interviews with four assistants yesterday, including Eric Bieniemy. There is some talk this morning in Houston Chronicle, that Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle reporting that there is maybe growing interest, that Cal McNair was a fan of the interview, how it went, along with Nick Caserio, the new general manager. They want to get Deshaun Watson maybe involved. So we'll see. We'll follow that story down in Houston. There's a lot of top stories out there, a lot of big stuff here in January. Top story today, but going to rain. So be careful. What are you going to do in the rain today? You going to do a rain dance, or what's happening?
No, I got to wait. This is a package day, so I got to wait out a bunch of packages coming. You know, they give you that time between 11 and whatever. Okay. The wobble. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to close it with this. HornFM.com for
awesome.
All the digital content. And we're going to go like that. And Bucky will just imagine in your eye, mind's eye, Bucky doing the wobble at his home in Dripping Springs. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, baby.